Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Update your home with Palmero vinyl plank flooring. It provides a genuine weathered wood look that complements any decor and clicks together for easy installation. It's waterproof and scratch and dent resistant, making it perfect for active families. Save big money on our wide variety of flooring options at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Is it a crisis? Hi, I'm Jarvis Smith, and my new show, Lean Into Clean, will inspire, impress, and inform. What can we all do to clean up our lives so the next generations and, of course, our beautiful planet can thrive? Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus, and restore the natural way so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. Thank you for coming back to join us. So, as you know, we always start with a news piece. I think the most significant news at the moment, apart from the obvious, is this eruption that is occurring in Iceland as we speak. There has been some research done. There was 30,000 earthquakes recorded. And it seems that this is going to be almost definitely, if the science is correct, the potential for an eruption. Now, why I'm interested in this is, of course, we're talking about the climate crisis. We're talking about how human behavior is perhaps impacting on the Earth. But I also want to share this, that, as you know, some of you will know from listening to me or hearing me say before, I studied with a female shaman for about 14 years before getting into business and more the media stuff that I do today. One of the arts that I was taught through this shamanic practice was listening, the art of listening to nature. And what I began to understand is that nature, or Mother Nature, or Gaia, or our planet, or the world that we live in, this natural environment that supports life, sustains life, is wiser than perhaps as humans can even begin to understand. Volcanic eruptions that are happening in Iceland, is this, in very short, an opportunity for nature to be giving us warning signals and opportunities for us to change the way that we live on the Earth, change the way that we work in co-creation and collaboration with the Earth so that we can begin to offer her the opportunity to restore and to rejuvenate? We have firsthand experienced this within our lifetime because we had the pandemic recently, which was awful. But we did see that air quality, that nature, that restoration began to happen in a very, very short time, within weeks, in fact. You know, people in India were able to see the Himalayas from 20, 30 miles away. These people hadn't ever seen the Himalayas from that distance in their whole lives. So let's just take for a moment the question of ourselves is, are we putting too much impact on our planet? And can we pull back and have less of an impact, and therefore lean into clean, which is what this show is about. Now, as you know, we always have an amazing guest on the show, and I'm absolutely in awe of today's guest. I met her very recently. We've started to do some work together with an upshift movement, which we'll talk about as well. But today we have the most amazing executive director of Unify.org, Tammy Scarlett. Now, Tammy is, on her own website, to be fair, she is an inspirational leader, strategist, an energetics mentor for both people and systems development. And as I said, the executive director of Unify. Now, Unify is a global nonprofit for world peace and impact. Tammy believes in implementing systemic change with strategy, efficiency, and abundance. Love that. For the thriving of our future. Tammy, welcome to Lean Into Clean. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much, Jarvis. I am delighted to be here with everyone today. Thank you for sharing that story that you did at the intro, because it starts us off with something so powerful, which is listening to nature. I love that. I'm so excited to be in this space with you today.
Oh, great. Now, just from that introduction, Tammy, before we get into more, would you say is anything missing from that introduction of you, your kind of mini bio?
From your intro of me?
Yeah.
I would just say that right now, probably the most exciting thing on the horizon is the radical collaboration projects that I'm able to be a part of. And one of those is the connection field we can talk about later, but one of those I'm actually leading the charge with a group of people, and that is called the Impact Portfolio, the White Lotus Global Initiative Impact Portfolio. Unify is a partner on that project as well. That's very top of mind for me, very alive for me right now.
Impact Portfolio. So that speaks to me of a coming together of, what is it, business, money, people that are all potentially going to have a better, positive, greater impact.
Yeah, it's really a template, a learning container that can template ways that we can begin to do better in all of these areas. So in other words, how can we come together with all the acumen and the assets and everything that we have available to us as humanity, and leverage what we have in intelligence in a contextual collaboration. And what's really most exciting for me about this is the radical collaboration. The Impact Portfolio is a space where organizations, NGOs, and companies can all come together to be able to learn about what one another are doing, and to be able to take their actions from a place of informed, expanded context. But on top of that, another part of the portfolio that I love the most is the fact that it includes optimizations. So each member of the portfolio, whether they're an NGO or a company, undergoes a series of optimizations, such as elevated marketing and branding. What NGO doesn't want that, right? All of our favorite NGOs doing the best work in the world, we want them to have elevated marketing like Apple and Tesla have. And so that's just one of the seven optimizations that each of these members of the portfolio would get. But the icing on the cake is that they're getting their individual optimizations, but they're not just getting those and then carrying out what they're doing in their silos. They're now being able to work side by side, arm in arm, alongside all of these other NGOs and companies across sectors. So our interactive intelligence begins to increase, and the optimizations that are applied to each organization or each company then are 10x in what they're able to accomplish in the world. So in other words, what we're able to do with, let's say, $80 million from family funds goes further than $100 million if it was given to each of those organizations separately. So that's kind of the concept of the Impact Portfolio.
Wow, that's amazing. I definitely want to speak to you some more about that. So talk to me, and presumably, is that Unify, the organization that you're representing, that's part of that portfolio?
Well, the White Lotus Global Initiative houses the Impact Portfolio and works with Legacy Global as the fiscal sponsor with the White Lotus Global Endowment. However, Unify is one of the partners of the Impact Portfolio and is also a member and is also an optimizer. The optimization that Unify helps to integrate is a large distribution model that's also an integrative contextual collaboration integration model for distribution. So Unify is, it is a Unify project in those terms in partnership.
Yeah. Okay. Amazing. Thank you. So let's just talk about Unify for a minute. So my very kind of layman's understanding of Unify is it's an organization that has gathered and continues to gather hundreds of thousands, if not millions, if not hundreds of millions of people. Correct me if I'm wrong, in getting them to unite in collective meditation and co-creative projects. Is that correct? Have I understood that correctly?
Yeah, I mean, the story of UNFI began back in 2012. And, you know, we know that around the solstice that year in 2012, there was a lot of unrest. People didn't know if the world was going to end because the Mayan calendar was going to, what was happening with everything. And so what we did as an organization, and this was actually before I was there, I came on after, got together and figured out a way to get these hubs for a broadcast. So an individual sitting at home might feel a certain amount of unrest, but if they tune into this channel, which was UNFI, then they all of a sudden get to see that there are people at the Pyramid of Giza and people at Stonehenge and people maybe at a local place nearby. But these sacred sites are never alone all over the planet. They're tended to by people. Local people know how to steward these places and have for centuries. And so we just tapped into this kind of grid of what was already happening on the planet by people being aware and connecting intentionally to these places of the land, to our earth, these acupuncture points on our earth, and then broadcast that. And it made everybody feel that they were a part of something bigger. And that really kind of put UNFI on the map. But moving forward over the years, UNFI has evolved, like we all do, and moved into a space of also helping to facilitate action campaigns for social impact. We have been in spaces. We were with Deepak Chopra, his broadcast partner on that meditation that broke the Guinness Book of World Records for collective meditation. And we set a record with the UN for a 2 billion reach in the 2016 Peace Day events. And so there's a lot that we've done in rallying people together, and we continue to do that, but we're still in a state of evolution. And what we're looking at right now is how the world is moving into times of transformational change, and how people want to be able to see their connectivity and feel that come alive in them in a new way. And so it's a learning time for all of us, but it's always been about connecting people and showing people that they're not alone, and really unifying us in, like, just reflecting back that we're one, we're all one. So that's us, that's UNFI.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm so sorry to all the listeners. We've got a big storm where I'm recording from today, and I think it is affecting certain things, but hopefully you can hear me nice and clearly now. Tammy, thank you for that. That actually brings me very, very nicely to your first song. So I just want to tell the listeners, when I asked Tammy to send me in some songs that would be a soundtrack to her life and everything that's going on right now, this is how Tammy is, right? This is typical Tammy, which is, I love and adore her. She sent me back four songs, but with the graciousness of saying, I love these songs. There are so many songs to my life as a soundtrack. Why don't you choose? And that exemplifies Tammy's beingness in the world. She's so gracious and always inclusive. So I did listen to all the songs, and then I couldn't then cut any of them out. So we're going to play all four of the songs through the session. The first one, I think, really, really taps into what you've just said about these energy centers around the earth, and these perhaps energy centers that are coded within us as well, right? So this song is one of your first choices anyway. It's Prosperity Codex. It's by Maya Stark. We're going to listen to this song, and then Tammy, you can tell me why you chose it and how it makes you feel.
Ruby light at the root of my tongue, opening song line sung from the mother of the sapphire light at the seat of my heart.
What a beautiful song. Gosh, I mean, there's so much to feel when that's playing. Tammy, why did you choose that song, and what does it speak of to you?
Oh, you know, growing up for me, I didn't have a whole lot of visualization about the connection of my body and my being with nature and the flow of energetics and kind of like the connection of all things. So I so appreciate, as an adult, being able to have opportunities in my life to connect those things in visualization. I think visualization is deeply, deeply powerful. I know that it is. It is particularly in our intentional becoming, and it is also intentional, particularly important in our intentional manifestation. So this song to me is just one of those practices, really, that I get the opportunity to lean into, feel the music in my body, have the visualizations that they're talking about and singing about, and feel rather activated in connection both with myself and the world around me.
Amazing, amazing. Well, on that note, we're going to cut into a commercial break. Tammy, hold tight. We'll be coming back to that in a moment.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Tammy, welcome back. You know, it strikes me that I think I said this when I tried to talk about you in the content I was providing. You're a rare being. I know loads of people, loads and loads of amazing people. But when I met you, there was this deep kind of courage and power and ownership of feminine, well, I don't know what to call it, but feminine intelligence. Like a rare gift that you seem to bring to the world. And you've, even in our interviews thus far, sorry, the our conversations just thus far, you use a language that I get, I understand, but that not many people use in a kind of mainstream societal way. What is it why do you do that? And what is it that you are offering to the world? Because I can see, you know, even you're smiling as I'm talking to you, there's, what's going on for you? What is it? What kind of being are you emanating in this world? Because I can feel it, but I'd just love to know what you think it is.
Oh, Jarvis, thank you. First of all, that's very, very kind. And I always really appreciate the mirrors that we are to each other in the world. The way that I see you and you see me, these are gifts, right? And so thank you for seeing me and reflecting that back. What I'm doing in the world, you know, I like to tell people that right now in the world, I'm looking out for acupuncture points where we might be able to be very intentional about collapsing time and waveform to be able to move humanity forward to where we want to be or where we say we want to be. But in the context that you were just talking about, specifically utilizing words that maybe you don't hear all the time, but that people understand, I feel that it is the responsibility of some of us right now on the planet. If we have the ability to see some things that are happening in transition, systemic, you know, changes, but then possibility, like linking into possibility on a trajectory of where we're trying to go to better humanity, better ourselves, heal our planet, our world, our people, then we have this responsibility to help to be two things. One is great translators, and two is great bridge builders. If we don't know how to do those things, we're not giving ourselves a practical path to where it is that we say that we want to be. So I've undertaken the job of just taking it upon myself to try to do the best that I can to be a great translator and to be a great bridge builder. And that requires that I don't really have judgment on things when they happen. I accept things as they are, because anything in any moment is the collective decision of humanity. It may not be your decision or my decision, but the 8 billion people on the planet together, what we have in this moment is what we made up together. So we collectively are the ones that can connect, working in context and conjunction and alignment with this world around us in order to change it. This is why I talk this way. This is why I say these things, because I'm trying to offer what it is that I'm seeing, but the same way that I want you to offer what you're seeing and everyone around us, right? If we're really watching and learning and then being aware with one another, then we have the opportunity to move effectively in the direction that we want.
Nice, nice. So when I asked you a couple of subject matters that you wanted to talk about, you did give me some, I guess, some strap lines, if you like, radical collaboration to synergy, circuitry to reciprocity, which I find difficult to say, and mapping of relational momentum, right? So talk to me a little bit about that. You've talked about radical collaboration to synergy. Just kind of open that out for our listeners, just so they can kind of really understand what you mean by that.
Yeah, would any one of those in particular, or?
Well, radical collaboration I kind of started with to synergy, yeah, but it'd be good to go through all three of them, definitely.
Yeah, radical collaboration to me is what it is that we're moving from this age of each of us being so siloed and individual about what it is that we're doing in the world and accomplishing in the world. And what I found in looking around me to observe what was happening is that more and more people, specifically this year than I had seen ever before, and even as an executive director of Unify, I was seeing that people were much more willing to begin to collaborate with one another than they had before. If we backed up 5 years ago, I would see two leaders of organizations that would want to collaborate, and they would maybe help each other out here or there, or maybe find an event that they would partner on together. The sense generally was everybody has their work to do. Everybody's going to do the work that's theirs to do and support one another. Radical collaboration was this thing that I noticed, but it's also an invitation. This thing that I noticed was happening where people would begin to kind of link arms without the agenda, without the logical the need to satisfy something linearly and logically. And when that was happening, then we would get this better result. It's like the we're better together thing, but it was happening very naturally. And so I started to talk more and more about radical collaboration. There's other groups that are talking about radical collaboration. I'm a member of the HOLO movement. You and I are part of the Upshift organization. There are lots of organizations and amazing individuals that are linking up because they feel that it's necessary to link up and sync up and then allow what's going to emerge to happen. That's the stage where we get to turn radical collaboration into synergy, where we get to say, we've done the linking up. That's practical. Collaboration is practical. When we take it a step further, it becomes radical because nobody's doing that yet. And when we get it even further, where we've hit that golden thread, where now we're seeing consistent, exponential, synergistic results, that's radical synergy, right? So that's a space that we're getting to play in right now because the whole earth is given to it. We're given to that change right now.
Yeah, lovely. Can I just before we move on to the next one, I love that, and I'm totally with you. I wonder, and I just throw this kind of out there as a question. It was not so long ago, maybe within the last two or three, possibly 4 years, that we began to understand, or science began to understand this thing we're calling a mycelium network. This kind of, you know, this interconnected, woven communication network that the trees and the plants and the earth and the soil and everything happen. And then that kind of emerged into the consciousness, if you like, of the mainstream. And then suddenly it kind of began to seed what you're describing as radical collaboration. Do you think that happens? Do you think, like, you know, when people first saw the earth from a spaceship, when, you know, when they went off to the moon and took a picture of the earth, that apparently expanded consciousness exponentially. Do you think the waves of consciousness do manifest in our intelligence? I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you know, what happened when they took the picture of the earth was that it expanded their horizon of their worldview. So the limits of the containers that they were thinking within blew open. They had to, because suddenly they realized they're able to have this vantage point with their eyes, and their eyes are their windows to their soul, are processing for everything, right? So all of a sudden we used to think we're in this city or this town. And if we had traveled to another country, then we'd think, oh, there's the city and there's that country. We know what a globe looks like. And that's those are the edges of our context. So when we move to this larger context, we open up worlds of possibility. I mean, this is what happens when people are being healed of their PTSD through psychedelics use right now. I know that's a very, that it's an interesting conversation to have right now.
I don't think it's controversial here. I think we're kind of on board with that.
it can be controversial. I mean, there's a lot of Because just for lots of reasons. But yes, that's exactly what's happening, is that the neuroplasticity of the brain is increasing exponentially. It's bringing you back to a childlike state where the malleability of your mind is at that place, like you're learning so rapidly because all things are possible. Well, all things are always possible. Mathematically, you know that's true. And quantum physics, that's true. You see every result simultaneously being achieved at the same time. That's what they were seeing up there. And is that happening all the time? Yeah, it's happening all the time. We're constantly learning what's possible by seeing little indicators in the world around us. And the more that it's done, the more we know, oh, it's not only possible, it's real. And now I can do it too. Now I have done it too. This is why when we want something to change, we want to manifest something in the world. This is why it's so important for us to practice templating things into existence. So this is exactly what I'm doing in Sedona right here. I'm here with a group of women. We are literally trying to learn what it's like for us to collaborate in multimodal healing. How do we sit together in all of our individual arenas, link arms, and say, if we're talking about this one situation, how do I do what I do next to you while you do what you do next to you, like a petal, like petals of a flower, all simultaneously unfolding, instead of you go to one person at a time to do their thing linearly. And we don't know how to do it yet because we don't do that. We don't practice that in our society, but we're going to do it messy and we're going to learn the edges of it so that we can template into existence what we are longing to see in the world.
Beautiful. I really feel that because I have this kind of little inner, like a glimpse of knowing that, you know, how our brain operates. So it sends an electric, if in order to move our finger, right, it's not that we are training the muscle from the brain down. It's the electric pulse that bounces from the brain to the different energy points and moves the finger, right? So I believe that there are these electric pulse or magnetic connections between other fellow humans. And that's been dampened for one reason or another, or shut down, which has enabled us to feel separate. And in order for us to feel separate, then we can actually come back to unity or to co-creation or collaboration. And then we'll have much more learning experiences because we felt the opposite, which is disconnection, right? So what you're speaking of there is like, oh, wow, it just sounds amazing. I'd love to be a little fly on the wall and experience you doing that. So let's move to circuitry of reciprocity, which is kind of on theme, I think, with where we are in our conversation. Tell me about that.
Circuitry of reciprocity is what I am saying, the words that I'm using to try to describe energy flow, the energy flow of all things. When I started my studies at Harvard in anthropology, one of the first books that I needed to read was about the Tlingit tribe. It's a famous book by a French author about, and he speaks about the Hua. Oh, it's called The Gift. The book is called The Gift. He speaks about the Hua in that language of the Tlingit tribe, which actually is like this was at Potlatch, which was very close to where I grew up. The Hua is the spirit of the gift. What he noted in their culture was that this gift had to kind of go before them, but it opened this tunnel of reciprocity for every way that they would function in their local community. And I thought about that and how specific, very, very specific, wildly specific it was to that specific local culture. But then I thought, this is also the way that all things work. They just were recognizing it and being intentional about that going before them. But reciprocity is that's all things. It also occurred to me recently that we design linearly. We design the things, anything in our world, we design it for destruction. We design it for consumption. We design it so that it has a start date and an end date. And we put that into the things that we are creating. We're literally utilizing our all things are possible creator energy to design things that are linear. We don't have to do that. So I talk about circuitry of reciprocity with relationships, and I talk about circuitry of reciprocity with creation energy, because it's very important for us if we want to shift the ways that things are done, the systems, the ways that things communicate with one another as we move towards a new world. It's very important that we think about and adopt circuitry reciprocity into our own selves so that we can have design mechanisms that reflect that possibility.
Amazing. Wowee. So tell me, we got four songs to get to. I want to play your second song. This is Fantasy by Jodie Comer. So we'll play that and then we'll just have a quick chat about why you chose that song. Fantasy by Jodie Comer. I love that record. I love it.
Yeah, this song, Fantasy, the reason that I had sent that over, it's actually an adaptation on a Mariah Carey song that was done for the movie Free Guy. And if you have seen the movie Free Guy, or if you haven't, it's a movie that is about the development of consciousness in a video game. And it's just a really neat concept, but this the character in the game is kind of fighting for his existence. And when I watched the movie, I felt a parallel to humanity. And I thought, you know, in some ways we've put ourselves in this box that we were never meant to have to stay in or fit in. And we've lost our connectivity to all things in existence around us. And it's exactly what the character in that film is going through. And the point in the movie that plays this song has this epic kind of breakthrough where he has to decide if he's going to come right up against his keeping things where they were. Maybe he goes away altogether, or maybe he can break through to something new on the other side, and he doesn't even know what that's going to be. And he goes into this moment, and the crescendos and the way that this song was done, I just loved the way she brought in all the strings and even the dissonance and everything. I was like, this orchestration of even the song's like a 1 minute, but the orchestration of that 1 minute really captures for me what I kind of hope that we can all go through as we're adapting into something and becoming something new together.
I love it. We're just going to very quickly skip to a commercial break. Tammy, hold that space. We'll be back to you in just a minute.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Lean Into Clean. Tammy, this is amazing. What I feel like you're giving us, or certainly giving me, kind of blueprints, like new blueprints for us to either remember or tap into with the, you know, with the way that you're sharing and expressing things. And actually, I wonder, is this perhaps how we used to operate, you know, before we got caught up in the man-made conceptual world that we live in? Before religion and politics and bureaucracy and money and financial institutions and everything else got involved. I think perhaps so, but with a new set of information, with a new set of guidelines, with a new set of wisdom. What do you think? Do you think we've operated in these ways in the past, or is this something completely new?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, when we're talking about radical collaboration, moving into synergy, that is taking us from where we are currently to where we know we can be, certainly based on some ancient principles. But it's less of a, hey, here's an idea of the new earth, like how we can projecting, like, here's a vision of what's possible. And it's much more about that bridge that I was talking about earlier, being translators and bridge builders. You know, circuitry of reciprocity. Yeah, I think that's all. It's 100%. It's the toroidal field. It's like it's the connection between our planet and our star system and the way that energy moves through everything. And these are not. This is not like a spiritual woo-woo.
No,
these things are measured mathematically. Even those connection points between us as individuals, the HeartMath Institute has been doing work on that for years. The Noetic Sciences, that's funded by Fetzer, for years and years and years, and all the things that were birthed out of that. These are all very scientific measurements that help us to be able to wrap our logical minds around these things that it kind of in some ways it seemed too big to be able to comprehend, but they are the principles of the connectivity of our existence. So certainly, certainly ancient ways.
Yeah, nice, nice. And we're going to move on to the last kind of, I guess, just the last bit of this section. Certainly not the last we're going to be speaking to you about, but you also mentioned mapping of relational momentum. So what just open that out for us?
Yeah, well, this year I consulted for a number of organizations, some were in like the wellness space, the psychedelic space, many different spaces. And what I noticed was that there was a consistent need to map our assets and then map, you know, help with our decision making, right? Which is kind of a normal boring, flat thing to do. But when we were leaning into what would be wise to do in these arenas, the relational mapping kind of kept coming up. So relational mapping for momentum is something that we looked at in order to see not just what are our hard assets and our soft assets, but then what are our relational assets. We don't like to say relational assets generally because it makes us think that we're using people. But when you begin to understand that this is about the emergence of connections that already exist between you for a purpose, there's no use about that. It's I don't have an agenda and I'm going to call you Jarvis and then you're going to do something for me. That's so old. Like, we don't need that anymore. I call you Jarvis. I know you. I know when to call you, right? Because I know you, I know, Jarvis is the guy for this thing. And the same for you. This is why you call me for this podcast. You go, Tammy, for this thing. And we work that way in the world. That's a new kind of synergy. The relationship mapping helps our brains to be able to see visually where that momentum, where those golden threads might already be alive between all the people we know, everyone in our sphere. And that starts to be able to inform our decisions about how we take our actions. It gives us a greater confidence in how we make our introductions because we can see that there's already something alive there that we're serving. We're not trying to strong arm something or force something into existence. It's much, much more powerful to act from that place.
Nice, nice. I love that. And thank you for that, Tammy. I mean, I feel like we've kind of gone, you know, reasonably deep into subject matters that obviously are really heartfelt to you. And thank you. I want to ask you just a little bit about, and I ask all my guests this, about parenting, right? Because I just think that's probably the biggest and most important job on the planet. And I know, you know, I've met your gorgeous daughter and your family. And, you know, and I feel like we're in a completely turmoiled world right now, right? We've got this thing that humans are calling climate crisis. We've got all these impending wars. We've got nature speaking to us about all kinds of stuff with volcanoes and earthquakes and all kinds of stuff. We've got complete separation and, you know, border issues and peace and war, etc. No, sorry, lack of peace and war. What do you do in order to bring up your daughter and kind of, if you like, prepare her for this world? Like, what gifts can you offer to our listeners of how you operate as a mother with you know, somebody that's young and fragile and learning in the world, and you're essentially their guide, their caretaker?
Well, I think for me with motherhood, my first lesson was that I am here to steward this being's existence. And it is really not up to me who she is or who she will become. I can really do my best to serve that and watch out for things that that are a good match for her, for her cultivation and her becoming. And I hope that she chooses to be a person who's in service to the world. And I also know that her expressions and her values are going to be her own. I have a great deal of trust in the timing of pretty much all things. That doesn't mean that bad things don't happen. Obviously, bad things do happen. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen as a part of the cycle of life. And it doesn't change the fact that my job is the stewardship. So when I'm teaching Aurelia about the world, I don't actually have any qualms about bringing a child into the world, because I felt that, you know, I knew that it was her time to come through. And so her being here is about her, what she has to do here, no matter how long or how short that is, no matter what that is that she has to do, that's hers. So it kind of is irrelevant, which, you know what I mean? If she could have been born in the 60s or she could have been born in 2060. But she's here now. So that's the timeline that's the right match for her. I just would love for her to be aware of the greater context that we've been talking about, that, you know, greater than the one that you're able to get from taking a picture of the earth from the moon. That one's also old. We have new contexts now that we can move on to. And I hope that she can see those things and find greater horizons. Ones that I'm not able to see in my lifetime.
Yeah, nice. That's such a like, kind of super elevated conscious mother response. I love it. It's beautiful. We're going to play another track, and then we've got literally just 5 minutes to end on. So I was going to try and get all four in, but we're not going to be able to do it. So let me let you choose. I'm hoping my producer at the back there is not going to panic too much with this decision, but thank you. We got Dancing in the Moonlight by King Harvest, which is an amazing song. But we've also got When It Feels Right by Vanya Leah. Which one would you like to choose as your kind of closing song?
I think we got to play When It Feels Right.
Okay, fantastic. So we are going to play When It Feels Right by Vanya Leah. I'm glad you chose this, because as much as I love the other song, this was my favorite of the two. So thank you. We'll listen to this and come back to you shortly, Tammy. Thank you. Oh, I love those reggae grooves. What a beautiful song, right up my street. Tell me, what does that song speak of to you?
You know, I was having a kind of a difficult season, and I was in a cafe on New Year's, and that song came on the radio, and I just felt like she was like a sister who came and sat down next to me and was singing it to me. She's like,
yeah,
well, you just know, here, listen, what the universe can do for us is magic. Okay. Trust us. We can have it. Like, and it just, you know, when it feels right. And it was a remembering moment for me to remember that I can trust my intuition, that I can trust the whole process, that we do have our ups and downs, but that this is all part of a much grander thing. And it helped me to move on that day and from that place.
Epic words of wisdom. Tammy, it's been such a delight. I could speak for hours with you, but I don't think our producer would let us carry on beyond the hour, unfortunately. It's been such a pleasure. So how do people connect with you? We've got unified.org, which is the the community, a very large community by the sound of things. How do people get hold of you? Have you got personal websites or social media?
Check out Unify. We're at unify.org, like you mentioned. We're also at Facebook/Unify, which is super easy.
Yeah.
And you can find me at tammyscarlett.com. I'm on socials. My Instagram is live.lead.love. And my Facebook is Tammy M. Scarlett.
Great. So anybody listening wants to reach out to Tammy and connect with her and keep up to date with her blueprints for this new paradigm that we're co-creating, then please do connect. Also to mention, Tammy and I are both co-conveners of the World Upshift movement, which was inspired by Irvin Laszlo and his book, the Upshift book, that has just been released. So do come and check us out there. If you just Google World Upshift movement, an organization, you'll find us. And, you know, as always, it's been an absolute pleasure, Tammy, having you. Thank you. Much love to you. And thank you for joining us from Sedona and, you know, taking yourself away from the very important feminine empowerment work that you're doing there. Much love to you.
Thank you so much, Jarvis. I'm delighted to have been a part today. And yeah, I love connecting this Sedona energy. It's this podcast is a part of the experience.
Brilliant.
Blessings to everyone listening.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So as always, we're going to end the show by playing this song that I sing on that was created in partnership with Greta Thunberg. It's called Save the World. Originally written by the Swedish House Mafia, but don't search for that one. Search for Save the World by Jarvis Smith. As you know, I've donated 100% of all the royalties that I get for this song being streamed, played, added to playlists, et cetera, to Greta Thunberg's Fridays for Futures Mapper movement. That's the most affected people and areas. We've got 2 minutes. We're going to play out with Save the World by Jarvis Smith. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week.